tales.
And that's an interesting Sinatra song. This is Rick Cogan filling in for John Williams. My friend Liz Garibay does not have a fairy tale, but she does want to come true, her notion of having the first museum in the United States dedicated to beer, called the Brewzeum. Liz, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
This is a good day because I have to believe that 99% of all the people listening are drinking beer.
You know, they better be, because it's right. It's a day drinking kind of day.
You're with a friend here, one of the board members of the Brewzeum, Bill Jacobs. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rick. How are you?
Nice of you to come in. You almost got dressed, or you're almost.
I biked down
yeah,
here.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Liz, you also run the History on Tap website and tours. Talk to me about, and I know Bill probably knows it, but you're sort of intellectual affection for spirits and history is wonderful and incredibly articulate and meaningful to me, too.
Yeah. One thing I quickly noticed in a lot of my museum work and in my studies in history, a lot of people want to like it, want to be interested in history. But sometimes it's a little bit off-putting. You know, a lot of names, numbers, facts, figures.
Sure.
It's not always accessible. And what I discovered was people were really more amenable to talking about it when they had a beverage in their hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I came up with this saying that alcohol is a lubricant for history. I mean, really, it's a lubricant for anything. But for history, it was really important because it sort of made people sort of on the same playing field, very much like bars do. Right? Or alcohol, when you have, everyone is in a place to have a beverage, engage, and you kind of really kind of become the same kind of people.
When it's also a sense of place, too, because what you do on these tours, I don't know, Bill, if you've ever been on one, I know many people who have, you go from place to place, and it evokes the spirit
right.
of a place. It is not an academic
no,
exercise, even though you're learning a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I leave all that sometimes not so fun research to me,
yeah.
Right? And then I try to figure out ways to translate it into ways that it'll be fun for people, educational, and interactive, really.
And it was through these tours, the History on Tap tours, that you eventually started to say, wait a minute, I think there may be a notion for a museum dedicated to beer.
Yeah, I was knee-deep in research all the time, and that translated into tours. And I always collected information, not just from the history side, their cultural side, but I was really following a lot of the alcohol business as it was growing. And in Chicago, that was really craft beer. And I was watching it grow. And for me, that meant, hey, not only is it successful, but people really want it, and I think people should learn about it. Because alcohol and beer, both things, are more than just a drink.
No question.
Right? And in Chicago,
it's a lifestyle. I mean,
right.
Bill, talk about this. What do you do?
I own a Peace Pizzeria and Brewery in Wicker Park. And we've been brewing beer since 2001.
What made you or what compelled you to get into that business?
Well, I was, as I mentioned to you earlier, I was in the bagel business. And we brought
so
bagels.
You had bagels, then you look in the alphabet, then beer is next.
Exactly. keeping with the carbs.
Yeah.
But like bringing great bagels to downtown Chicago, my company was Jacobs Brothers and opened up in 1983 with my brothers. I always thought about bringing this style of thin crust pizza to Chicago. And my friend Matt Brindleton was running operations for Goose Island. So Matt approached me and said, Bill, if you ever think about doing a new concept, please keep me in mind.
Interesting.
So Matt brought the beer component to Peace. He encouraged me to hire my great brewer, Jonathan Cutler, and that's where the beer component came to the concept.
Do you, from an intellectual side, I know it's not correct to approach, I've never approached alcohol from an intellectual side, on the contrary, but did you, when once this started, once you got involved, it's got to be a sort of fascinating process. I mean, the learning process, the various ingredients being part of that scene must be fascinating.
It absolutely is. Now, I've learned a lot, but it's really my great brewer, Jonathan, who does everything. And he's one of the best, not just in Chicago, but in the country. We've won 27 medals at the World Beer Cup and Great American Beer Festival since 2002.
Let me ask you, Liz Garibay, who runs HistoryOnTap.com and will soon run ChicagoBruseum.org. Why the explosion of craft beer? I mean, I'm looking back, you know, let's say 40 years ago, I suppose you could walk in a bar and find four kinds of beer, maybe. If it was a very sophisticated kind of bar, many bars just had one or two, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the right time. You know, historically speaking, a lot of the bigger breweries that we know of and people started to really consume, that was a post-prohibition sort of, you know, after effect, and a lot of the bigger breweries survived. And, you know, in the 70s, remember that beer was always started by home brewers, and people were always still doing that. And so in the 70s, there was definitely a wave of people that were sort of just trying to hang on or actually just almost like preserve that way of making beer. And I think it was just the right time. We started to see some other sort of what we call now our craft breweries, but are still bigger in the late 70s and 80s. And, you know, remember in Chicago, our very last brewery closed its doors in 1978.
Is that right?
That was Peter Hand Brewing Company.
Wow.
Right? And that was located, tell me if you remember this location, around, you know, Sheffield and North Avenue.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
And so we were a dry town in terms of beer for 10 years until 1988 when Goose Island opens at Sheffield and North Avenue.
See, that is fascinating. Right. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is, Liz has ever been able to energize history to my mind and make it exciting, even if you don't have a drink in your hands, which I do not have at the moment. We're going to take a break and keep talking to Liz Garibay and Bill Jacobs. Bill, and talk about why Bill became a board member and what he. I'm going to ask him first, Liz, what he thinks of the whole notion of a museum dedicated to beer, which will not only be a museum dedicated to beer, we'll have revolving shows, exhibitions, and serve, too.
Don't worry about me.
That, of course, is Frank Sinatra. I, not of course, and Rick Cogan filling in for John Williams. And I'm pleased to have in studio Liz Garibay, who runs tours, international tours, I might say, through HistoryOnTap.com. She's here with her pal and one of the board members of the soon-to-be first, maybe in the world, it's got to be in the United States, first museum dedicated to beer, the making of, the drinking of, and the history of, called the ChicagoBruseum.org. You can get more information there. How did you meet Bill, and how did you get him to be a board member?
Well, whenever I find a bar or a brewery that I really like, I usually try to find out their story and dig a little bit deeper, not just in their story, but the history of the location.
Sure, sure.
And really kind of piece the past to the present. And I reached out to Bill and sent him a message and say, hey, I'd really love to interview you and learn about your business and who you are and a little bit more about you. And he never replied. He blew me off for a good, I don't know, 16, 17, 18 months.
No, it wasn't that long.
Did you keep emailing? It
nope.
Wasn't consistent.
No. I don't like to bother people. And literally, I remembered that he never replied. And I was like, well, whatever. What a jerk.
Yeah.
And so one day out of the blue, I check my email, and there's this long, apologetic email from Bill Jacobs saying,
after 16 months?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
It wasn't really that long. It was a while.
It was like a year.
Hour and a half.
Well, that says a great deal. That says a great deal about you.
Right. And right away that he wrote that long after, I was really impressed to begin with.
Sure.
And I was like, hey, I know life happens. So he said, come to peace. I'd love to talk with you. So we did. And we just kind of clicked.
And you expressed your idea for this kind of.
No, this was a long
way
time
before.
Ago. God, how long ago was that?
5 years ago, maybe?
At least. Maybe more. Seven?
Well, you've put together, I think this whole idea, and you can talk about this a little, Bill Jacobs, this whole idea for the Bruseum, it really captures people's attention. And you put together, I think, a fascinating sort of interesting board. Was that true for you when Liz first mentioned this idea of a beer museum? And some people are like, oh, yeah, sure, beer museum. But that certainly couldn't be the way you thought of it when you first heard the idea.
Well, when one of the things that Liz and I connected on was our love for history.
Yeah.
I was a history major. My dad was a history major. My brother, we all grew up loving history and appreciating it. And that was one of the things that Liz and I have bonded over. And I went to Boston University. Liz went to Boston University, did some graduate work there. And I thought it was a great idea. So when she approached me, she said, I've got this idea, you know, and clearly was a good fit for all of us. And,
yeah.
You know, you talk about, again, you talk about the history of beer in Chicago and how beer connects people, you know, and the history of that.
I know, Liz, that you are close to, and I don't want to jinx anything, to finding a location for this thing. Describe, as you have a bit to me in over drinks at Twin Anchors one night, how you envision this thing.
Yeah.
It's not a museum in the conventional way that we think of museums, is it?
Well, I definitely, you know, I'm a museum professional. That's my background. And first and foremost, I always say this will be a museum that you think of going to as part of your visit to Chicago or as a local that you have guests coming in from out of town. We are a 501c3 registered nonprofit. We are very much in that mindset because, like I said, that's my background. That's what I know.
Yeah.
And so when I was building the team of people, I really wanted to have folks from the brewing industry, people that would be passionate about it, people that loved history, people that understood the concept, people that were business savvy. And then I also wanted to have other components to sort of round it out. So we have historians. We have authors that use history to write their stories. We have filmmakers. We have other museum professionals. So this is really a group of people that I think, and as we continue to build our boards, really kind of come together from a variety of fields to create the perfect place, the perfect product. And I want this first and foremost to be a museum. I don't envision it being a collecting museum.
Right, exactly.
Museum
that's a great point to make, yeah.
And the reason for that is there are numerous reasons. Everything about this project for me is rooted in collaboration.
Yeah.
I was taught that, you know, there's better things come from numbers, right? I can be knowledgeable in certain things, but I know that you over there are also going to be knowledgeable in other things. So bringing our two forces together is only going to make something better, right? A. And B is really, I want to work with everyone and anyone and all organizations that are interested in this, right? So if I'm able to put together an exhibition about, you know, I don't know, ceramic steins from the 8th century, then I want to be able to find that perfect museum that already does that.
Yeah.
And have a collaborative process and co-curate something that's fantastic.
One notion, we were sitting with our mutual friend John Binder, who's written a book called Al Capone's Beer Wars. He just came up from out of the blue with, like, how about like a collection of bottle openers? And I thought, God, that'd be fun.
Right.
Bottle openers through the years. But there would be revolving sort of
shows. So the way we envision it, it's a pretty big project. You know, I'm looking at least 28,000 square feet, high in the sky. You know, definitely have a tasting room, brew pub in the first floor. Our main exhibition will tell the story of Chicago through the lens of beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about how you make beer because, you know, all of our great breweries in this country have great tours and they show you that process and it's an interesting process. But this is really about the stories behind beer in Chicago.
And the culture and how beer, how beer plays, you know, it's one of the threads in the culture and the fabric of a town. It affects politics. It affects policing. It affects virtually every aspect of a city.
100%. And I argue that Chicago is a city built on beer. We talk about architecture. We talk about railroads. We talk about stockyards. But really, beer needs to be included in that whole conversation.
Why do you think it is? Do you think there's still, and you would hit this more than I, do you think there's still some stigma attached to the drinking of beer? I can't even imagine anymore because it's now become so much more, and Bill, you know this too, it's so much more, you know, there's no stigma, I don't think, attached to the drinking of wine, for instance, because it's seen as this kind of rarefied, very complex thing to deal with. You think that's happening with beer too?
I don't think so. I think if anything, you know, we're at a time in which great things are happening with beer. You know, things have evolved with food. Things have evolved with beer, with wine, and it's what people are interested in. And, you know, people want very good things, and they have taken an interest in drinking and eating great things. That's how it is these days. And beer is one of those things. I'll give you an example. When we first opened up in 2001, our number one selling beer was a Kolsch Golden Arm. Now we're selling the hoppy beers, but it's an example of how sophisticated customers have become and how the public has taken a great interest in beer and the different beers.
How many beers? Because I don't drink beer. I'm a hard liquor guy.
It's my goal to change that, Rick.
I know you're right. That's what the museum will have, an exhibit of me drinking a beer. How many beers are available? I'm just curious.
I don't even think you can put a number to it. No.
Hundreds?
Are you talking about the styles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So many.
There's
so many
styles within styles, sub-styles. I mean, it's really too numerous to actually try
and
to count.
And when someone begins one of these craft breweries, do they do it with the intention of becoming the next Coors, or they do it with the intention of, in the same way that, let's say, a gallery space would open? They don't open a painting, a gallery that exhibits paintings, to then exhibit paintings all over the country and to become a conglomerate. They are focused on what they do. Is that generally true, Bill?
I think it depends on the operator, yeah, and and their business plan. For example, we are a single unit, and we brew beer and we sell it on site. And I often get the question, "How come you haven't expanded?
Yeah.
Why don't you do another brew pub? Why don't you, create a brewery and put your beer on the shelves because it's that good?" That's a different business.
Yeah.
It's a different business model.
What's the website for your place?
PeaceChicago.com.
Well, that's easy.
And you can find it on Facebook and on Instagram as well.
That's easy.
But getting back to your question,
yeah,
Rick, you look at what Josh Deeth has done with Revolution, and they've done a great job.
Right,
and
right.
Half Acre. They've done a great job of putting fantastic beer on the market. Josh started with the brew pub. And there's other brew pubs that have opened up. There's Band of Bohemia, Haymarket.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, Haymarket, sure.
With,
yeah,
with
yeah,
Haymarket.
Yeah, yeah.
And P. Crowley is doing a brewery up in Michigan.
Wow.
So, it all depends on what people's motivations
are.
Yeah,
what their aspirations are, too, yeah.
I think at the root of it, especially in Chicago, is, I think people go out to make really good beer. And that's the ultimate goal. I think everyone's going to have a different business plan. But if you look at it, we're talking about brew pubs, but look at Metropolitan Brewing. Tracy and Doug over there, they started just making beer, right? And packaging it and putting it on drafts. They didn't have a tap room. They're going to have a tap room real soon, which I'm really excited about. But
Tracy's on the board?
Yeah, Tracy's on our board. Josh is on our board. We got some good people. But I think in Chicago, really, it is, and I want to say, around the country, people just want to make really good beer. They know how to do certain things well and put it out there for people to enjoy. It's like any other, product.
And this is fascinating, and that's why I think there should be a brewseum in Chicago. A year from now, if the three of us are sitting here talking, will you be telling me about an event happening tomorrow at the brewseum?
Well, it's a big project, like I said,
yes.
A large building, major exhibition focusing on Chicago. Other exhibitions will focus on the history and culture of a different international city.
Mm-hmm.
Different space will feature whatever we want to feature, right? A rooftop beer garden, event space. So it's a big project. So I anticipate opening doors in about 3 years.
That'd
but
be great.
You can definitely count on events that will give you a taste of what to expect.
A taste, so to speak.
Through the Chicago Brewseum.
Go to chicagobrewseum.org or get a hold of Liz and go on one of her tours at historyontap.com. Bill Jacobs, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Rick.
You're a right-minded
nice meeting you
guy.
Too.
Liz, it's always great to see you. Say hello to our mutual friend, Bruce Elliott.
I will.
Soon to have a podcast.
Yes, we're excited.
I will keep you posted on that thing. Stay tuned. I'm going to play you some talking statues.